Thank you, worship team. I just love that invitation. Come as you are. The Lord would have us just come before Him as we are, allowing Him to meet us with His grace, with His approval, His acceptance. All that we have in Christ is such a marvel, such a beautiful thing. And Jesus wants us to come to Him now as we hear His word today. And so, before we do, though, I'm going to offer a word of prayer. The prayer group on Wednesday night has been, for a long time now, been praying for a woman named Asiya Bibi, who I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her as we offer a prayer of thanksgiving for her and also a prayer of petition asking for her continued protection. But she's been held in Pakistan prison for over 9 years. She was held for blasphemy charges against Muhammad and her Christian faith. She was finally acquitted after those 9 years on October 31st, which we were all rejoicing in when we heard. That's a real answer to prayer. There was some real concern whether she would live through this experience. And we all know there's much unrest in Pakistan. Many actually wanted her dead. She and her family are in hiding, fearing for their lives now, and it's unclear whether they're still in Pakistan or whether they've left for another country. But we need to continue to pray for Asiya and her family, for all the Christians in Pakistan and other parts of the world who are in danger for the sake of their faith in Christ. And it's just amazing to think of some of the hardships that Christians in other parts of the world are going through. And so this is one person that we've followed, and we want to pray for her continued safety along with her family. And then we want to pray for our missionaries in general, wherever they are. We think of David and Sonia Narveson in Africa, who have just moved into their new home. They begin their ministry there in earnest, and we want to lift them up in our prayers as well today. And there'll be other needs that I pray for as we continue in prayer. So join me, please, as we look to the Lord with some of these needs. Our Heavenly Father, we're rejoicing, first of all, for the release of Asiya Bibi from this Pakistani prison. And yet, Lord, we now understand that there are still many who would like to see her dead. And we don't know if she's escaped Pakistan or not, but we pray for your hand of protection to be upon her and her family as they continue to seek to live for you and serve you. Just be with them, Lord, and protect them. Lord, we also want to pray for the Narveson family today as they have entered their new home in Doe, Chad. And we're asking, Lord, that you would help them settle into their new home and open the doors for ministry for them as they begin their work there. We thank you for them, that we as a congregation can actually have a part in supporting them. And God, we pray for your very best upon them now as they serve you there, along with all our other missionaries from our church body and those who serve from other church bodies. Lord, for the World Mission Enterprise, we thank you today. And then, God, we also want to pray for my sister-in-law, Mary, who had a serious surgery about a week ago and will now be going to Mayo on Tuesday for her post-op check. It appears as though the surgery went well, and we're just praying, Lord, for a good report from this checkup as she goes to visit the doctor, the surgeon, once again. And Lord, we know that we've been praying for Mike Sather and Sue Gunderson, each of whom are fighting their battles with cancer. And Mike had a setback this last week, as we've heard. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be with him now in the hospital as he's going through a battery of tests and so on in the aftermath of of this setback. And we just pray for Diane and Elena as well, his family, as they seek to listen to doctor's advice and find help that is appropriate. Be with Mike. Thank you for his sense of your presence and peace in his life. How he's trusting you is just amazing to see. And we know that this gift comes from you. And so continue to watch over him. We also pray for Sue. And we thank you that it's our privilege to support her in this time of her life. And thank you for the joy she experienced in receiving a prayer shawl from a member of our congregation. And just the encouragement that was brought to her in that visit the other day. And so, God, we have those in our midst who are hurting, and we do mourn with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice. It is our privilege to support and care for those in our midst who have needs. So bless them all, Lord. There are many others we could pray for today, no doubt, who have concerns in their lives. I know we each carry certain kinds of concerns with us throughout our lives, day by day. But, Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient to meet all our needs, and so we thank you for that today. Bless now your word as it is proclaimed, and may you minister to our hearts as we need it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our sermon for today is found in, the text is from Ephesians 4, 22 through chapter 5, verse 2, which I'd like to read for you right now under the theme, Authentic Christian Living. And so beginning with verse 22 of chapter 4. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is God's word, and may he now add his blessing to the reading of it. Amen. For some people today, Christianity is deemed as a put-on, a kind of hypocritical or fake life. And I suppose they base that on what they see in the lives of people who may call themselves Christians. Paul wrote to Timothy about those in the church of Ephesus who were holding a form of religion but denying its power. It's not ours to judge others, but we all know people who seem to be pretenders when it comes to the faith. Authentic Christianity is, in its very definition, something that can't be put on. But there is a sense in which true, authentic Christianity must be put on. More precisely, put off and put on, as we see in the text from Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul writes this: You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so there is a putting off and a putting on, if you will, as we live our Christian lives. These verses refer to a new way of life that one puts on when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10, for example, refer to this idea of taking off and putting on as an action in the past tense. Listen to these words: do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Put off the old, put on the new. And I dare say that's a daily process for us as believers. We say no to the old nature. It's saying yes to the new nature that we have received in Christ. This is not a once and done aspect of the Christian life. This is a new way of life, something that Paul urges believers to put on continually. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 speaks beautifully about this, where it reads, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." Notice the present tense of the word offer, which implies a continuous action as part of this daily walk in Christ. To offer ourselves to God conveys the idea of putting ourselves in the service of God, offering ourselves on the altar of sacrifice, so to speak, day by day, moment by moment. There we have it. Authentic Christianity is not phony, but it is put on. What are the characteristics of this new way of life, this new self that the Christian is urged to put on? Well, Paul, in the passage I read earlier, draws our attention to three characteristics in the context of today's text. So I'd like to share these three aspects with you today from our passage. First of all, put on honesty. Therefore, in verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Verse 28 goes on to say, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. So there is this putting off idea, and in this case, putting off of falsehood, putting off things that are consistent with the old way of life. In other words, this new way of life that we as Christians are called upon to live involves speaking and dealing honestly with others, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. To do otherwise gives the devil a foothold, according to verse 27, where it says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Being dishonest with one another in aspects of life, in essence, is giving the devil some kind of a foothold in your life. I happen to love movies that pertain to the Old West. I'm old school that way. I mean, I enjoy Westerns, okay? And there's a movie I like. It's called Geronimo. And it's a story of a legendary Apache chief. You've heard the name. It's not only yelled when you jump out of a plane, but he was an actual guy, lived back in the days of the Old West, the latter years of the 19th century, when everything was changing post-Civil War. The story of Geronimo is told through the eyes of a young second lieutenant named Davis, who came to Arizona fresh out of West Point. And he was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to serve his country. And it turns out that, in shocked disbelief, this young idealist watches his superior officers breaking promise after promise made to the people whose word of honor was their honor. You know, I mean, their word meant everything to them. And his superiors were breaking their word to the American Indians time and time again. And so he spends his lifetime remembering these deceptive, fraudulent words of his superior officers, deception in high places, and watching them strip the Apaches of their honor as a people. What I can say is that dishonesty at any level is a disillusioning kind of thing in any arena of life, but especially in the church, especially those who are considering Christ as for what he offers, but looking at the people who are calling themselves Christians and wondering about the quality of their relationships at some level. Dishonesty is inconsistent, in other words, with this new way of life called that we are called on to walk as Christians. Secondly, put on encouragement. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Now, words can be powerful tools of both creation and destruction. As followers of Jesus Christ, committed to putting on this new self, we are called to use words to build each other up and not to tear down. The Kisi people of Liberia, West Africa, have a proverb, apparently, that goes something like this. When a man steps into the center of the circle to dance and no one claps, he will soon tire and sit down. But if everyone claps, he will dance all night. Isn't there a lot of truth to that saying? We need to clap for one another, my take from that little parable. We need to encourage one another and offer words of support to one another. Mary was talking about the support she has felt from her surgery and just how the body of Christ has rallied around her and prayed for her, been consistent in their support for her, and what a tremendous difference it has made for her as she's gone through this surgery and now in the aftermath. Same thing from Mike the other day in the hospital, visiting with him, feeling the prayers of support. Sue Gunderson, same thing. How about that? Words of support, prayers coming from God's people as they seek to clap for one another in their times of need. There is probably no better example of an encourager in all of Scripture than we find in the New Testament character called Barnabas, whose very name meant son of encouragement. In Acts 4:37, we find Barnabas providing financial support by selling his farm and giving the money to the apostles to distribute to the needs of the church. Call that financial encouragement. In Acts 9:27, we find Barnabas standing before the apostles, endorsing the newly converted Saul of Tarsus, giving him the encouragement of fellowship, remembering that Saul of Tarsus had very recently, before his conversion, been a persecutor of the church, calling for the death of Christians. And now he's a believer? You can imagine how there was some doubt in the ranks about who this guy really was and can we trust him? And Barnabas went to the mat for Saul of Tarsus and saying, he's a new person. His life has been changed. We've got to give him a chance to reveal himself as to who he now is. We've got to learn to trust him. And so that was a tremendous sign of the encouragement of fellowship, especially when we consider all that Saul became in terms of the Apostle Paul and the missionary endeavors he undertook. In Acts 15:36, we see Barnabas at it again, this time exercising the encouragement of forgiveness. Paul and Barnabas disagreed over young John Mark. He had traveled with them before, but he had deserted them. He got tired. He wanted to go home. And Paul thought it now unwise to take young John Mark along with them again on a missionary journey. He's not cut out for it. He's not meant to be a missionary. He doesn't have what it takes. But Barnabas not only forgave John Mark, but was ultimately willing to part company with Paul in order to demonstrate his forgiveness toward him, to give him a second chance to show his true colors, if you will. And aren't we glad over 1,900 years later that Barnabas did give John Mark a second chance? Because in John Mark, we have the author of the second gospel in our New Testament, Having associated himself with the Apostle Peter, he authored the Gospel of Mark. Encouragement is the inspiration that one person gives to another through the technique of pouring in courage to another person. And that's part of what the new life that Paul is addressing to the Ephesians in the text that we've been dealing with. Put on honesty, put on encouragement, and thirdly today, from Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's a proven fact that children who grow up with rejection have a more difficult time giving and receiving love. And we know that just from anecdotal evidence and people we know or people we've heard of. Notice now how Paul refers to the Ephesians as dearly loved children. If you read the letters of Paul, you'll notice many phrases indicating a real love for the Christians that he's addressing in his epistles. Paul is saying to them, you are dearly loved children. Because you are in Christ, you are fully accepted by God. Live in the light of your full acceptance by God and love others in the same way. That's my paraphrase for what Paul is saying to the Ephesians. Because Christ has loved you, so you love one another in a self-sacrificing kind of way. Children do imitate their parents, often without knowing why. You've probably heard of the little girl who asked her mother why she cut the ends off the ham before putting it in the roaster, and scratching her head, she said, I really don't know. It's what my mother always used to do. And she didn't know anything more than that. So happens that grandma's roaster was a smaller one, and the ends had to be cut off. There was no other secret to it than that. In the same way, Paul exhorts us to be imitators of God. In the same way he loves, we love others. He then points to Christ, who loved the church sacrificially, giving up his very life for us. Judy Anderson, whose husband was at one time the West Africa Director of World Relief, grew up as the daughter of missionaries in a country called Zaire. As a little girl, she went to day-long rallies celebrating the 100th anniversary of Christian missionaries in that country, in Africa. After a full day of long speeches and music, an old man came before the crowd, insisting that he be allowed to speak. He said that he would soon die, and that he alone had some important information to communicate to this gathering at the 100th anniversary of missionary work in Zaire. And he explained how when the first missionaries had come some 100 years earlier, the Africans didn't trust them and thought their ways were strange and their message was unusual. The tribal leaders decided to test the missionaries by slowly poisoning their food and drink. And so little by little, this poison would take its effect, and over a period of months and years, missionary children died one by one. Think about that. Pausing amidst the hushed silence that now filled the room, the elderly African, in a cracked voice by his old age, said these profound words, quote, it was as we watched how they died that we decided we wanted to live as Christians. Isn't that powerful? By observing the lives of Christians, even in terms of the way they died, it prompted them to believe that the God of the Christians was real and worthy of their faith. I mean, that's quite a testimony. The story that had gone untold for 100 years, those who died painful, strange deaths never knew why they were dying, or what the impact of their deaths would be, but they had stayed in Zaire nonetheless. and continued their work, serving and loving. And why would they do that? Could you blame them if they had all gone back home? You know, what would you and I have done in a similar situation? And that's kind of another story, isn't it? But the point is, they did stay. They didn't know why, but yet they stayed amidst all that adversity. Why? Because they trusted Jesus Christ, who had given his life sacrificially for them so that they could imitate his love toward others. A love that is willing to sacrifice. And so in conclusion, as blood-bought followers of Jesus, with gratitude for all that he has done for us through his finished work on the cross, and in humility, knowing that by grace we have received far more than we deserve. Does anybody here deny that or doubt that? We have received so much by the grace of God. Nothing we deserve, nothing we have earned. He just gives it freely to us. By faith, let us put on honesty, encouragement, and love. Recognizing that we do fall short at times in these endeavors, that we don't live up to these kinds of high callings in our life. We need, through repentance and faith, to be forgiven for the ways in which we fall short. But nonetheless, this is the life that we are called to as we put off the old self and put on the new. And we walk in the way of life that is ours in Christ. We grow in that life, little by little, overcoming the mistakes as we give them to Christ and live in his forgiveness, believing that this way of life will somehow leave its mark on the world in which we live, a world that needs Jesus and the peace and the hope that knowing him brings. That's our high calling as believers. That's our privilege as followers of Christ. To live in this way, the ways that we've talked about today. This is God's word, and may he apply it now to our hearts according to his Spirit. Amen.